take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross.
To take up that cross tonight, for sure. We got several requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry Horn, if you don't mind, to come pray over these. Prayer request for Sister Anna Altland, aching, feeling really bad. I think she might have a sinus infection, so just remember her. Also, a Sister Moyer, having digestive issues, a lot of problems with acid reflux. Her hemoglobin's been low. She's been losing weight, having difficulty breathing. So they're just really asking the Lord to move for her in that situation. Brother Keith Phillips asked us to remember his daughter, Heather. She's got a severe GI virus, and asked for us to pray for her. Brother Howard Collins wants to thank everyone in the church for all the cards and calls concerning the passing of his brother. So he just wants you to know he appreciates that. We'll continue to pray for Brother Howard and that family. Brenda Harmon has pneumonia, so let's remember her. Brother Jerry Glenn would like for us to remember his wife, Deanna Glenn. She's traveling home tomorrow from Ohio. Also pray for the family. They have a decision still to be made. And then also, please remember Brother Jim Babb isn't feeling well and able to be in church tonight. I think that's it for the prayer request. We could stand tonight. Let's join Brother Terry, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these needs.
So good to be here again tonight, isn't it? I was just thinking, anything that we have a passion for is certainly not a burden. That's why it's easy to come to church. That's why it's easy to love the Lord. It's easy to live right because we got a passion for it. It's no burden. The message is not hard. It's no burden because we love it. It's our life. It's our love. Isn't that wonderful? Just a simple thought. You know, if you have a passion for it, it's not hard. Maybe that's the reason some just don't. Can't stay with it. They don't have a passion for Christ. Well, let's thank Him for it. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are to be in Your presence tonight. Lord God, and it's nothing I could do. I didn't put it there. I remember when I was young and the worldly things I used to do, car racing, drag racing, what more. That was my desire back then, but when I got a new birth, all that left. I'm thankful, Lord, that You chose me from the foundation where I wasn't looking for You, but You were looking for me. How thankful I am. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can say I'm one of those eagles that was kicked out of denominational barnyard. I remember well how it was, but Lord, I'm so thankful that I come out it just wasn't right down in those systems. But Lord, when I heard that great eagle scream, it was the right voice. We're just so thankful for it. After about 35 years of this wonderful message, it just gets sweeter and sweeter. And I just love you more and more and more each and every day. We just get so close to going home. As we get a few more years and a few more passings of the moon and the sun, we just realize that our days are getting short. Even if I would live a natural life, I'm very... Lord, we're getting close to going home, but I don't believe, I believe I'll, of course, live to see it. Brother Ed and those, I believe he'll live to see it. We're just that close, and I'm just so thankful for that. Thankful for how you healed him. Lord, I thought about Brother Sacker the other day. He told about all the four or five major things in his body you healed. I thought, well, that brother's almost got a body change. How we thank you for that. How you're still the great healer. We love you so much. Each one of these requests that I have my hands on tonight, they've been read, they've been spoken, be minor, major. Lord, that's nothing for you. Lord, you only ask one thing. Can you appropriate that faith? All things are possible if you can just only believe. And I believe people are believing. Faith has been restored by the seventh angel messenger. There's faith in the building tonight where these people are going to be healed and delivered and brought back to restored health. We're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word. We've come expecting. We believe, God, you're going to meet with us. We're inviting your presence, Lord. It's just good to be here. We're thankful, Lord. Just happy to be your children. Bless and anoint your servant tonight, giving the words to speak. I know the Word's already anointed. Anoint our hearts to receive. And when we leave the building, say, it's been so good to be in the house of God. Our hearts surely did burn within us. Lord, sanctify our thoughts. Give us a good time of fellowship around the Word. And when we leave, Lord, we can certainly say thank you for another opportunity to be here. We bless your holy name. We ask these favors, Lord, and these requests in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Terry. Let's just sing this song together. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. When I think about about where you'd be, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think
turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Makes me want to shout.
Amen. We should want to shout when we look at where we were and where he's brought us. The brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. Sister Brenda Thompson has a song for us tonight, if she could come and be getting ready to sing. Also, just a quick announcement. There's going to be a trustees meeting tonight, just after the service, so remember that. And also, we'd like to welcome a visitor tonight, Brother Jeremy Costner from Manny, Louisiana. Brother Jeremy is the pastor of Evening Light Tabernacle in Manny. So where's Brother Jeremy at tonight? So welcome. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Let's sing When It's My Time. When It's My Time, G. Let's sing this song. When it's my time, I'm going to take my time just to behold his face. Let's sing that together. Well, I've heard them say to do what's right, one must take their time, but at a hurried pace, there's often ways, no sense of reason or rhyme. But when I think of my new life, living in my brand new home, you're the first thing that comes to mind. It's my time at the throne, and it's my time, gonna take my time to behold his face. Time, gonna take my time to talk of his amazing grace.
Precious Savior's time. When I finally reach his presence, I take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank him for his wonderful love and the grace that brought me through. When it's my take my time to behold his face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk of his amazing grace. See him standing in line. They're just waiting for one moment or more of the precious Savior's time. And when I finally reach his presence, I'll take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank him for his wonderful love and his grace that brought me through. When it's my time, it's my time. Gonna take my time to talk of His name.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
And I surrender.
flame, oh, and all the joy of salvation, glory, glory.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. There's a song been on my heart today, but I've never sang it before. But Linus has got his blanket over here. I feel real secure as long as Harry's over there to help me. But let's sing "In Christ Alone." I place my trust. I find my glory in the power of His cross. We got to understand where we stand in His scheme of things, how we place. Understand who He is, where He places. I appreciate the Word revealing these things to us. And more being open, just seeing this last weekend, continuing to open more things to us. And in Christ alone is where I want to place my trust.
Amen.
Will you lead us in that?
In Christ alone will I glory, though I can find myself in battles won. I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I've overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory that it be said, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Place my trust and find my glory in the power of His cross. In every victory, let it be said, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for His mercy to us. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter 32. Amen. No good works we could ever do. We could never pray enough, read our Bible enough, study enough, go to church enough, couldn't pay enough tithes. There's nothing we could ever do. That's why the scripture says it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not according to our works, according to His grace. Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up. To new gods. You see, that's one thing you can't say about our God. He ain't a new God. He ain't the new kid on the block. He made the block. Praise the Lord. Our Lord God ain't a new God. Hallelujah. I better not get started on that. Notice now. That came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we realize as we read these passages of Scripture, prophetically, it was going to cover spans of thousands of years to be terminated eventually in their rejection of you becoming a man. How sad it must have been for the prophet Moses as he had to write this by inspiration. But yet you inspired him. Lord, I pray tonight that we, as we look into these things, we would learn as your people what happens when people leave the Word of God. May we never, ever, Lord, pull away from you. May we never become apostate to your Word. May we be true and faithful all the days of our life. Lord Jesus, I hold in my hand tonight this handkerchief for our sister, Jan Winters. Lord, you see these needs in her body. I'm asking you, Father, that you would just be with our sister. Just touch her and strengthen her, Lord. Other needs that are here in the church building tonight, and those that are streaming, and those among your people out in different places, we ask that you'd be mindful. Father, I pray for Brother Tim and different ones down in Louisiana and down in the south, parts of Arkansas. Lord, as I heard from Brother Tim this afternoon, and parts of Louisiana, 13 inches of rain already, and maybe 10 to 15 to 16 more inches coming, roads washed away, and overpasses and houses, and some of the people from the church are having to cover the roofs with tarps and all kinds of things because of this water. We ask for your protection, O Lord God. May you watch over our brothers and sisters, Father. Bring them out of this time, I pray, Lord. Speak to us tonight from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. We already know that prophecy has the ability of being so wonderful. It can produce such joy. It's absolutely illuminating to see that God can anoint men. It's not really overwhelming to us that God would know, of course, the future. But in that God would be able to bring men into a channel, and they would be able to get themselves out of the way, and God would be able to utter through them things that's going to be years and years on down the road. In that, prophecy can come in a twofold way, that it can be such wonderful things of the blessings of God, of deliverance, of peace, of happiness and joy, and things that God's going to do. Then on the other hand, it can be on the other side that God is saying that this and this and this is going to happen, and it's going to absolutely be terrible. It's going to be absolutely so difficult for people during the times of prophecy, and there'll be certain things that'll happen in people's lives, and when it comes, it'll be total devastation, it'll bring death and sorrow. Now, this is the phase of this song that we're going to look into tonight. Now, God, remember, as we said last night, that God is running the parallel between what he has done for them and the way he's manifested himself, and he's contrasting that with years of failure and years of apostasy and what God will actually bring them to at the end. Now, God runs in a very strange way to us, because in the way that he even allows himself to be described, which is amazing to me, that God would allow himself to be described as if though he were a man.
He would allow himself to be described as if though he felt human anger and as if though he felt like a man with a wife and the wife had run around on the man with other men. And God would allow himself to be described as if though God was so torn up by the way this happened. To me, I see such condescension in the character of our Father. And you know why he done that? So we would be able to relate how it was written here in the book. If he would have actually expressed it on that divine terms, he knew we couldn't understand it anyway. So he chose the human terms that we would be able to understand and relate to, and allowed the men of God, Amos, Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, many of those prophets, when they would write about the character of God, when he sent Amos over and said, go marry a woman that's a woman of ill fame. And you remember the story, how that Amos had to do that of Hosea, whenever the prophet Hosea was sent over to buy the wife. And what was God doing? And God was saying, this is the way I am. Now God the mighty, the eternal one, can't even feel in the sense of the way we feel, but he condescends to man's understanding and to man's language so man would be able to relate to him. Now this is what we're going to see here tonight, that God is doing exactly the same thing, and he's going to have the children of Israel to sing this song, and he will run the parallel in the way that he's going to use this choice name that he calls them by. Now let's pick up again in verse 15, but Jeshurun, remember we looked at that last Wednesday, and it is upright one, a symbolic name for Israel describing her ideal character. Now watch in this verse how that God will contrast what Israel's ideal character could be and should have been with what they had developed into. Now remember, God never made them do this. This is what they choose. This is what your free moral agency gets you into. Now God wanted them to be Jeshurun. God wanted them to be the people of his covenant. He wanted them to be a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of people that each one of them would have the right to approach the Shekinah light of God's glory. But they refused, little by little, they refused to become a kingdom of priests. God wanted them to hear his voice. But when they began to hear the voice of God, they got scared. So they said, no. We don't want to hear the voice of God. Let the prophet here, once again, they were selling themselves short of what God wanted them to be. Now, Jeshurun was the ideological character of what God wanted them to be. Now, he's going to contrast it with what they had become. Now, you imagine, oh my, that whenever Jesus sat there and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen does gather her brood, but you would not. Now, your house is left unto you desolate. You imagine then, when the prophet of God stands and he said, tears dripping in his heart, and you can hear the Holy Spirit say, oh, America, America, how oft God would have gathered you, and now our house is left desolate. Look at our politics, look at our churches, look at where we are. What is it? Total desolation, friends. Thank God there's one hope we have, and that's the coming of the Lord. Aren't you glad your hope ain't in politics? My goodness, there ain't a politician running for the presidency that's worth 50 cents when it comes to character. Now, I ain't trying to tell you who to vote for, and my goodness, I don't know if I had to vote, I don't know who in the world I'd vote for, and I ain't neither one anyway, because that don't really matter. But look at what in the world we got to pick from. Think of how far we've fallen in our lifetime of what there is, and to think which one of these people we're going to turn all these warheads over to. We're going to turn all these atomic missiles and plutonium and all this stuff to one of these people that's running for our president. God hide me. I said, God hide me. What is it? It's not just our nation, it's the whole world. And yet God would have called America together and hovered her wings over it, and he desired to do so. But she rejected his prophet, and now there's bombs hanging in the hangar with her name wrote on them. That's exactly right. Oh my. Notice now how God will contrast this. But Jeshurun. Now this is the ideal character of the way God would describe Israel. Jeshurun waxed fat. Now he's going to contrast of what she could have been, what she could have remained as, of what she had become. Jeshurun was the ideal name that Israel could have had. God could have blessed her. She could have walked with him forever. I mean, on and on and on for countless generations. But instead, he contrasts what she had become, and he said, but Jeshurun waxed fat. Now he's reminding them of the dignity, the honor, the character, the blessings that God gave them, but now he contrasts that with what they have become. Now what they become is a stall-fed ox. So they go from being a prince, from being a queen, from being the chosen, from being a priest of God, and being all these things, and now God is going to liken them from Jeshurun, he's going to liken them to an animal that was put up in a stall, and they were fed, and they were getting ready to be slaughtered. Now God likens them today, said, what did you do? You got fat on my corn. You got fat on my wheat, and you got fat on my blessings, and when you got fat, you got sassy. Now you realize that's what happens to a lot of Christians too. God will save them from sin, take cigarettes out of their life, and deliver them from alcohol and all kinds of stuff, and boy, they get to thinking there's something, and then they get to a spot they can't take correction no more. And the my God heals their little family and delivers them out of all kinds of things, and they become a know-it-all. You can't do one thing with them. You know what you are? You're a stall-fed ox. As stubborn and as hard-headed as an old ox. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like that. You become as stubborn and as hard-headed as an old ox. And what did God say about them? So Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Now, when God got a hold of you, you're so puny, you didn't have enough room, enough strength to even walk, much less kick. And God saved you, sanctified you, God raised you up, God blessed you, and God done all kinds of things for you. Then what do you go to kick in the very master that fed you? Now, this is the way he's likening the people of Israel. And he said, you wax fat and kicked. Oh, my goodness. Wax fat and kicked. So it is in the adverse conditions of the way God is describing the contrast of what they could have been versus what they had become. Now, as I mentioned it to you last week, that for many times, good times is the worst thing that can happen to a child of God. And you watch stress and difficulty and trouble, most of us, it drives us closer together. You watch strain come in a family, real Christians, what they do, they get together like never before. Isn't that right? You watch outside pressure. What does it do? It's one of the best things that can happen to a church. It'll drive them together. They'll love one another, and they'll kind of lay aside their little differences. But once outside pressure decreases, what happens on the inside? Conflict and all kinds of difficulties. And then the devil will move on the inside, and those things which were not so major become very, very major because we don't have very much opposition on the outside. But if we think they're out there getting ready to kill us, we're all going to run together because we realize there ain't that many of us know how. But if the pressure eases up out there, then they go to picking. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Oh my. Folks ain't walking around this day with chips on their shoulders. They got logs laying up there, brother. Amen. I said they got logs laying up on their shoulders. Chips ain't near big enough. One little wrong thing, they're ready to quit the church. I ain't coming back, this, that, and other. But you watch a little persecution come out on the outside. What'll it do? Man, they'll run together. Folks will start coming to church on Wednesday night. That normally only come on Sunday morning. Why? They're afraid the press is on and they better get right with God. I'll tell you one thing. One of these days you're going to wake up and the press is going to hit you. And it may happen on Wednesday night and you're going to be pressed out. If I was you and I could come on Wednesday, I believe I'd come. I don't want to wait till Saturday night and Sunday morning and show, Lord, here I am. I'm back on Sunday morning. If you live close enough to the house of God and you keep your lazy hide at home and stream service, do you realize every bit of them's going down into the record book in heaven? And God will make you answer for every one of them services that you missed when you could have come. You think God's going to allow you to sit at home and all the rest of us have put forth the effort to come to the house of God? What if I decide on Wednesday night to start remotely preaching to you? Wouldn't that be just as good? I may be streaming in reverse. Why don't I just get me a chair and sit down? I don't want to dress up nohow. I hate suits, ties. I hate fancy shirts. So I'll just sit downstairs in a chair and let the shirt hang out like modern preachers do and sit down and just teach you all remotely. I'll be your remote pastor. How long would y'all let that work? Till next Wednesday, maybe? What do you expect? You mean you expect me to show up? Really? You mean you want me to be here every time the church doors is open if I'm here in the community unless I'm sick? I don't understand why you'd want me to do that and you don't think you have to. So you see, what happens is that folks get fat. They get delivered under a minister. They get help. They get healed. Their home gets healed. They get delivered. And they become fat and sassy. He ain't telling me what to do. There ain't no preacher telling me. Well, you realize what's happened. Now, when you're the great man of God that helps deliver them, then, oh my, you're the next thing to God nearly. I mean, you nearly hung the moon or the sun or the stars. But, well, won't you help them out of all the troubles and help bring them out? All the thing I found out a long time ago, the way to maintain my spirituality in the eyes of many people is don't never cross them. Because if you ever cross them, you're in a heap of trouble. You are no longer spiritual. You're no longer a godly leader. And then they figure they might ought to go somewhere else. What are they doing? Kicking at you. They're kicking at you. Now, this is what Israel, this is what God said Israel was going to do. Oh, my God, help us. Now, it's ironical, really, in the way that God does it, that he contrasts between just your run and in the way that they were going to develop into historically and also prophetically. But he said, just your run, wax fat, and kick. Now, notice anytime God repeats something like this in a double manner, it's always emphasis. That's why Jesus would say, verily, 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 verily. And God would have the prophets to say the same thing and then something very similar again. And it was an authentication of what God was going to do. So it's doubly confirmed. So he would say, wax fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Again, he says it. Thou art grown thick. Again, he says it. Thou art covered with fatness. Again, he says it. Now, what is this? The abundance of God's blessings. So they were a skinny meanie, as we would say. I mean, they were really on a super diet when they come out of the land of Egypt. They were so skinny, just barely skin draped over bones down the spiritual parallel I'm talking about. They was not a people. They was not a nation. They was poor. They were slaves. They had no dignity. They had no self-respect. God called them out. God said, I found you in your blood. Ezekiel was in Ezekiel 16. I found you in your blood. I passed by and I said unto thee, yea, live. I say unto thee, live. And God raised them up and God gave them a nationality. God gave them a name. God gave them a temple. God give them a country. God give them victory after victory. So they wax fat and fatter and fatter. And then they become sassy. And then what they start doing, they started kicking at God's prophets. So when you kick God's prophets, you kick God. When you kick the church, you kick God. When you're kicking against God's men, you're kicking against God. Because they're his spokesman. So they wax fat and then they kick. So here we have the illusion then to an ox or a cow or something that is so weak and puny and sick. And now it's fed, it's taken care of, and it's grown fat. And now it becomes this high-spirited thing against the rebelling against the very one who's helped it achieve its spiritual fatness. Now notice what they've done. After they got fat, then he forsook God. So he went away from the worship of God. Now that they become a nation, so God, of course, uses a beast as a symbol of power. Now the beast, of course, when it was weak, it couldn't do anything. It needed God. It didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of riches, didn't have a lot of friends, didn't have a lot of folks it could count on, so it really needed God. I'd rather be poor all of my life and hold on to God than be filthy rich and not need God. Or at least not think of him. Now, you see what they had done. They were a power because a beast in the Bible represents a power. So they had now grown up in a power and a beastly way to where they were strong and they were fed and they were great big people. And now, boy, I tell you one thing, they realized, I'm not sure we even need God no more. We've got money, we've got castles, we've got houses and lands, and we've got all these dignitaries. Do we really even need God anymore? Don't you understand that's what the churches have been for years? This is why the denomination Christians are cursed of God because they come to a spot. We don't need God in our services. We've got a board. We've got trustees. We've got deacons. We've got general overseers and presbyters. What do we need God for? I hope to God our message never gets to that spot. I hope Happy Valley Church never gets to the spot that we're saying, you know what? I'm not sure we need this Holy Ghost stuff. Brother, sister, if we ever needed this Holy Ghost stuff, we need it now. If we ever needed the Spirit of God among us, we need it right now. I don't care if we get so many people, we have to have services 5 times on Sunday. We still need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need God to come among us and do what we cannot do ourselves. So what happens to folks when they get fat? Then they come to a spot to where they don't need God. So then the scripture says, then he forsook God. Now what is God? You know the God, again, God condescends to human language, and God tells us over and over again in the scripture that he is a jealous God. Now God again allows his character to be brought down to condescend to such a place of human terminology that people, when they read this about God, then they would think, well, then God would be jealous over his wife the way I would be jealous over Carol if one of your brothers outside was just making eyes at her and she was making eyes back at you. Me and her's going to have a conversation when we get to the house tonight after church. And don't worry, it'd be the same way if I smiled at some sister making eyes at her. She'd want a conversation with me. Because I am hers and she is mine. Praise the Lord. Married men shouldn't flirt. Married women shouldn't flirt. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now God lowers himself now to be recognized in the sense that they would be able to understand. So then God says, you know what? You provoke me to jealousy. I'm jealous of you. I am so jealous. Now God is not a human. God is in spirit. God is eternal. But he wanted them to understand how he felt. So he related it in human language. So he condescended his character so they would be able to relate to it on human terms. Now notice he says, then they forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Notice where God now identifies their salvation coming from. The rock. Glory. God identifies their saving grace of coming from the rock. And of course, you know, in the book of Corinthians, Paul tells us who that rock was, and that rock was Christ that followed them in the wilderness. So now God is telling them, you have provoked me. You have provoked me with a no God, so I will provoke you with a no people. Glory. Amen. You've used newly gods. You've used gods that aren't even true. So I will use a people that are not even of a great nationality. I will use nobodies. Now what? So they forsake God, and when they forsake God, of course, they forsake God's worship. And then they went into idolatry. They forsook God, which made him. So God projects himself then as this loving, gentle, wonderful husband that has taken care of his wife and given his wife all these wonderful things. And then he likens Israel, his wife, to a woman who has run around. Now we know all through the Old Testament that God does this. And much of this, remember, is prophetic because it's coming on down even to the time of Christ. Now thus far Israel under the dispensation of Moses, for the most part it has not been the national move of the children of Israel to go this way. Now there were some with Dathan, some with Korah, some with Abiram, some with Balaam. But it was not that it was per se the national emblem that all of them had went into idolatry. So this is in the future to come, because there was still a great deal of the Israelites that stayed straight on the word. Now notice he says, so Jeshurun waxed fat, and then he kicked, and then he got fatter, and he got fatter, and then they forgot God. Oh my, forsook God. He is the rock, and according to Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. So he is the rock of their salvation, because their salvation flowed out of the rock. So they forgot that rock and they went along without the presence of that rock. Notice the Deuteronomy 32:16. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Now notice again how God is is going to allow his character to condescend to where he will be likened to a jealous husband. So they actually went with other gods, strange gods, and provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Again, he's allowing himself to be portrayed as if a man has a wife and his wife is running around and talking to other men and doing this and that and the other, and God is allowing himself to be projected. Now, I got angry and I'm jealous over you and I really got upset. You imagine the eternal. The eternal allowing himself to be written about in such terms of condescension. Since they moved him to jealousy. Now watch again. He likens himself as if though he is a wounded, offended, jealous husband. And he said, because you done me that way, I'm going to do you this way.
Amen.
Oh my. Since they moved him to jealousy by other gods, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Amen. Now they'd already done that, but only in a very, very small form. Nothing compared to what is going to be in the future. Now remember, this song is prophetic. Look in verse 17. And they sacrificed unto devils. Yeah. How is it now that Moses breaks into the realm of demonology and idolatry? You know, I've been to different parts of the world and I've seen folks who still worship images. You've heard me tell of being in Durban, South Africa years ago and seeing one of the Hindu festivals. Tens of thousands of people that were there. And they'd take a little small cart, I'd say something like 6 foot long maybe, and it would stand 5 or 6 foot tall, had 4 wheels on it, maybe 3 foot tall, and they would take ropes and take great old big long fish hooks and put them in the backs of these individuals and put them down in their skin, and they would tie these ropes to the backs of these individuals and they would pull them. But they would not do that until these individuals got all worked up, so they'd have a little group of men over here around this one man. There might be 5 or 6 of them, and they'd have a little tambourine type thing like this and 2 little cymbals, and now they was shouting and dancing and they were just going and going and going, and they'd get worked up and they'd get worked up, and all of a sudden the individual in the middle, they're all kind of gathered around him, the individual in the middle would let out a blood curdling scream. And once he let out this scream, they knew he was ready. Then they would either start with the fish hooks in the back, or they would take a long needle and start weaving that needle through his tongue. They would take hooks and put in their nose. Now they had no needles to numb them. I'm standing there watching it, videoing it. And they would go on and put more of these things in there. Then they'd all get to going around and they were shouting and jumping and oh my, it was just absolutely unbelievable. The hair stand up on your arm to see all of this going on. Now you know, to us, most of us Americans, that's absolutely repulsive. That's absolutely crazy. But why is it that idolatry has so appealed to humanity for centuries that are gone by? Millennia actually. What is it? It's because the power of demons, of the mindset and the culture of the people, would be able to take something in the form of a piece of wood or a shape of iron or gold or some sort of an image, and a demon would actually be able to envelop itself into such, and they would make their eyes move, and demons would actually speak out of those images, and they would actually feel a presence. Remember, Brother Bram talking about it, Christianity versus idolatry, and they would be really an anointing there. Maybe being, of course, a child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, I could feel that anointing, but it wasn't from the presence of God, I can assure you. It was demons. But there was masses of these people. Whenever we got there, myself and the brother that was there with me, Brother Naaman, I do maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. By the time it got done, probably wound up at 20,000 or 30,000. We go ahead and get in the vehicle and drive over to the temple where they're all coming to. And the time you get there, there's tens of thousands. You can't even get near to to where it is. And yet, what is it about that? Now, none of those demons have ever healed any of them. None of those images have ever saved any of them. But yet, they have an anointing. They have an emotion, an enthusiasm. My, my, it's just hard to describe. What was it that caused it to do it? It was demons in the form of idolatry. Now, what was it that caused the children of Israel that they would ever make a golden calf, or they would make an image, or they would worship the image of Tammuz, or they would worship the image of Ashtaroth or Chemosh? What was it about that? Just another piece of wood? Well, wouldn't this pulpit do just as well? Wouldn't this microphone, a piece of metal and a piece of foam, couldn't we make a god out of that? But demons would actually anoint this channel. This is the mindset of the people at that time. This is their culture. Now they don't use so much pieces of wood. They use rock stars and movie stars. Or your TV, or your job, or your iPhone, or your droid. Right? And we become so captivated by these things. Could some of y'all live one day without your phone? Now, we can live several days without prayer. We can live several days without listening to tapes, going to church. Think of it. Oh, some of you, I know you resent this. Some of you, I'm not addicted. I'm not. Really? Why don't you try tomorrow without it then? And see how painful it would be for you. Just use it as a phone. Accept and receive calls. And see how painful and how addicted you are to it. Lord, you're going to get us in trouble now, Jesus. Oh, Brother Donnie, purely convenience. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Some of you, it's not a convenience. It's an addiction. You can't even talk to people no more without them answering their, excuse me, Brother Donnie. Excuse me, Brother Donnie. Beep, 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 ding, 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 ding. Everything's a ring and a buzz and a, my Lord, you don't know what in the world is even going on around you. Oh, but I don't have to have mine. Right. Right. Just like a junkie don't have to have his fix. The only difference is he's telling the truth and you ain't. Praise the Lord. Now you imagine then Israel had a living God who'd fed them, performed miracles. Why would they ever worship a piece of wood? Why would they worship an image 7.5 or 8 feet tall called Chemosh? That would have his arms made out like this. He would be hollow in the middle. Real ugly face. And they would take their children and lay in the arms of Chemosh. After the priest had built a fire inside of Chemosh. And make it so hot when they would lay their babies in the arms of that idol. It would fry their skin like bacon. What was it? Demons. Demons. These people were not insane in the sense of insanity. It was demons inspiring them. Praise the Lord. So they were sacrificing, according to what Moses said, they sacrificed unto devils and not to God. Now demons have the ability to manifest themselves physically. They can manifest themselves in seeming supernatural ways. Now some of y'all getting scared already. Your toes is already wrinkled back to your heel. Straighten it out. You're going to get that cramp in that foot now. Brother Donnie, it scares me. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We're not scared of that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Is that world here? Sure it is. Is that realm here? Absolutely. We fight them absolutely every day of our lives. But we do not have to be afraid of their power nor of their force. Yet Israel had got to a place through idolatry into demonic worship. Listen to what Moses says. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not. So demonic control or influence have actually anointed the people by the masses and the multitudes. And it would actually anoint them to where they would feel like this God was watching them. And actually, historically, you can find somewhere that they have records that their eyes would actually move as you was walking around. And they would see certain things that would happen. Well, to them, that God was alive. I want a God bigger than just be able to move his eyes. I'll tell you one thing. There's been a lot of times I didn't need an eyeball moving. I need the hand to reach down and pick me up. Come on. I need more than a big eyeball moving around up there in some statue somewhere. I needed a hand to reach down and get me and bring me out of the darkness I was in. Oh my, God help us. So they began to worship gods who they knew not. Now, this is, of course, going prophetically. Now, keep this in mind. And also, he speaks of two new gods that came up newly, or recent gods. So now we're looking now prophetically to where that Israel will be brought into not only the Canaanite religions of the land of Canaan that they were coming into, but showing the future that they would also embrace different ones that would be brought in as well. Oh God. Verse 18, out of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful. So they started worshiping this God and that God and new gods. When somebody would come up with a new God and the culture would change and the old God would not work, these demons would inspire somebody the way they did Muhammad. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Well, glory. It was not an angel of God that met Joseph Smith. I'm not saying his name was not Moroni. I'm not saying that he didn't find them tablets up there. I know a little bit about their stuff. I've got their books. I'm not saying that it wasn't an angel, but I am saying it wasn't an angel of God. He might have one time been an angel of God. Praise the Lord. If some angel come to me by the name of Moroni or John Dillinger or Frank or George or Jack or Bruce or whatever his name was, and he spoke contrary to that word, I'd tell him to take him and his filthy lies and go back to hell. Any son or daughter of God would if they've got the Holy Ghost. But Satan knows exactly how to catch people in cultural change, in psychological change, in political change, and sometimes this way of worship won't work any longer. So Satan will have somebody there with a new agenda. Come on, General Satan, look at me. He knows exactly. He knows exactly when changes are being made. It's the same way with politicians. That's why certain ones right now that's doing so good would have never got off the ground 5 years ago. 10 years ago, you got to be kidding me. But it shows where the people are. The people are so sick of this and so sick of that. They're willing to do this and they're willing to do that. Oh my, I'm so glad that we're anchored in the Rock of Ages. I'd hate to think my hope was in politics. I'd hate to think, I'm talking about either party, both of them rotten. Satan controls both of them. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, I thought you voted. I did. I voted for Jesus. I'm going to win this election. As a matter of fact, I'm already elected. Now watch, of the rock that begat thee. Notice how Moses now makes the rock their father. The rock begat them. And what did they do? Thou art unmindful. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. Look at how apostate they're going to be. Now remember right now when this is being said, they are not there. Most of them are a generation. Not right now. Moses is fixing to die when this has been sung. And Joshua is standing there. And Caleb is standing there. And they're fixing to take the land. They're chomping to bits. They can't wait. Hurry up and sing this song and let's have the word. Hurry up and sing this song and let me get my mountain, Caleb, for saying. But they've got to wait till this song is written out by God's prophet. Israel is not there then, but God is speaking prophetically. I see what you're going to do. Remember, this song goes right up to Pilate's hall. This song goes to the camps in Auschwitz. This song goes right to the very end. Lord Jesus. And when the Lord saw it, verse 19, he abhorred them. Can you imagine the people that God loved and called and chosen? Now God looks at them and he says, I abhor you. Amen. Lord, children, let's not do nothing that'll make him feel that way about us. Because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, his heart, again, God is allowing Moses to write about him as if though he were a man. Oh my. In his heart, he despised them. Because of the provoking of his sons. Lord Jesus. Now remember, this is in prophetic style that Moses is writing. What's Jeremiah 7:17? Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah? And in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire. And the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Now look how idolatry had totally consumed the entire family. So the children would go out and gather the wood. And the fathers would build the fire. And then the mothers was kneading the dough in the troughs. And they were making cakes. And they were going to burn these cakes upon this fire to the queen of heaven. Astaroth. Idolatry. By the time it had come to the days of Jeremiah, idolatry had so engulfed the whole people that God said, I will destroy this place.
Think about it. Amen.
And who did God use to do it? A heathen Gentile king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And I've not been able to find anywhere where God asked him if it was okay with him if he used him. God spoke Cyrus's name hundreds of years before he was ever born, and I ain't found one scripture yet where God asked him if it was all right to use him. And Cyrus, according to Josephus, Cyrus found his name in the book of Isaiah and read his name in the book. And he was ordained of God to do a certain work, and God didn't say, is that okay with you, sir? Can I have your permission to say your name before you're ever born on the earth? I just throw that in to link the services in with the weekend. I thought that fit really good. Apparently y'all didn't enjoy that. Notice how the idolatry, this is where Moses was saying that's going to come to. The whole family was so engrossed in idolatry. Lord Jesus. Jeremiah 44:15, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, and the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah saying, as for the word thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. You blasted us and you busted our hides and you preached against us and you've told us God's going to make us go down to Babylon and going to sell us out there. We want you to know right now you're wasting your time telling us, Jeremiah. We'll have nothing to do with it. We're worshiping these false gods and that's what we're going to do and that's the end of it. You see, they had now moved up to one of these prophetic eras. Remember, prophecy can repeat itself. Eventually, there'll be certain things that's allocated for the end time that can only be fulfilled in the end time. But there's certain things that could come down through the Middle Ages that might go over and over and over and over again. And here they are in this time frame that we're actually coming to this spot, and these people are Israel. They're not Babylonians, they're not Chaldeans. They are Israelites, the seed of Abraham. Lord Jesus. Look in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house. which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz. Now, I want you to listen to what this was. The word Tammuz means sprout of life. An idol personifying vegetable and animal life worshipped in Phoenicia and Babylonia. Now, God said there'd be new gods come. This was one of them. This one wasn't in the land of Canaan. So you imagine now, here Ezekiel sees and God carries him up. Notice where he takes him through. The house of God. Which direction? Toward the north. Was it not the north that Satan moved into in heaven? Was it not, he said, he wanted his kingdom in the sides of the north? And what does Ezekiel see of the children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham? The women are sitting there before this idol of Tammuz, and they are weeping, and they are crying, and they are lamenting. They're not crying for the sins of their city. They're not crying for the sins of their people. They're weeping before this dumb idol. But they are so into it that Ezekiel is caught up into this vision and he sees them women and they're just weeping and crying and weeping. Lord Jesus. Notice back again to Deuteronomy 32:19, when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. Lord, children, I've been through valleys in my life, and you have too, when it seemed like he wasn't there. By the promises of his word, I know he was. But can you imagine him actually saying, I will hide my face from you, Rob? Tim, I will hide my face from you, and you will see me no more. God's face was his presence. The shewbread was the bread of his face, which is the same word that Paul uses in Romans, purpose. The word purpose in the New Testament is the word shewbread, according to the purpose of God. So it was the shewbread set right outside the holy place. It was the purpose. This is what the bride, God wants the bride to be. We're not just to be seed. We're to be made bread. Becoming seed is wonderful, but don't stop at the seed stage. Brother Bam said we want to become bread on his table. Then what is the bread? The bread reaches the final stage of the divine purpose. And the bread is set before his face. So where was the bride? The bride was out there on the table before his face. But here, the Old Testament queen of God, she is now making these cakes to Ashtaroth, weeping and crying before the image of Tammuz. And she forgot the living God. Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice now, Moses now breaks in verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face. Up to this time, it's been prophetic utterance. In the second person, now it's the first person, God. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. Now we're talking about Yahweh. I will see what their end will be. Now the Lord passes the sentence in the first person. For they are a very forward generation. Now watch, what do we see? The drawing away of the presence of God. Friends, is it any wonder that we have to fight all hell to come to church? Fight all hell to pray and read your Bible? Why? The presence of God being lifted from this earth. Remember, the prophet tells us in Shreveport, after he preached souls in prison now, when he went down there and he said, there will come a time when the Spirit of God will be lifted from the earth and the bride will be left here. Now, that's not that personal presence abiding in you as an individual. That's yours forever. But we're talking about that presence of God that was around years ago. You just take a guitar, an old accordion or a tambourine or whatever, and go to singing about God and seem like God would come down anywhere. Now, you can have a 51-piece band and you sing and you pray and you shout and you do good to get one little move, seem like, of the presence. Why? It's because His face is turning from this world. His face is turned from this nation. Oh, my. I'm so glad His face is not turned from us. Now remember, keep in mind, there was an elect of God in every one of these ages. Amen. And they had to find their place in this song as well. They had to find their place in this song. The majority may worship Tammuz. They may go to this God or that God. But there was an elect, though it may have been very few. But there was an elect in every generation. God has had a tithing of people in every age. There was people in these days that refused to bow to these idols. It might have been hard, it might have been difficult, but they held on. May I say to you tonight, so is it in this age. Amen. The world has rejected Him, and our nation has rejected Him, but we have not rejected Him. Hallelujah. We love Him more than ever. Can you imagine question and answer 64? And the prophet of God is still here. And the people following the message can feel it. Brother Branham, why is it that we can't seem to pray and read our Bible? He said, well, brother, sister, the revival is over. You imagine in 1965, whenever he has the service ceremony, they open the tabernacle there in Tucson. Brother Ben said one thing about it. He said, this climate out here, I love it. But there's one thing about being out here with no church. He said, I have a way of getting around my brothers and talking to them and finding out that we're coming too carnal. And you know why it was? You imagine they had some of the prophet's messages in books. They had their Bible. They had the prophet's message in tape form and had the prophet himself. And they were still falling away from it. Why? No place to stand and worship. If it done them that way with him there, you think you're going to be able to stay at home without it? They had the prophet in flesh. Come on. That's his words. That ain't mine. Look it up. What house do you build for me? And listen what he says. Our kids running from show to show, riding the bicycles up and down the street, getting around my brothers and see that cooling off. And here they had the Bible. They had the message on tape. They had printed books and they had Elijah in flesh. And it still was not producing. Why? Because God's apostolic way is come together and worship in the house of God. And Brother Branham was so elated. Oh my. He said, I want you to know this is my church. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus. You imagine the first part of this sentence. It projects the withdrawing of His presence. I will hide my face from them. Now when this runs up to the time of Jesus, Josephus records and says, before Jesus Christ died, there was a voice. Let me read this to you. Before the destruction of Jerusalem, a voice was heard in the temple that said, let us go in. When the sacred symbols were taken away, God allowed it to be brought to mere rubble. Because God's a mean God. God ain't a mean God. He's a loving God. It's because the people chose this verse for their life. What verse are you choosing for yours? Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us victorious. God wants us to live above sin. Amen. Oh my. Lord Jesus, help us. Know what he says? For they are a very forward generation. Children in whom is no faith. Friends, you think it's just a statement of the Lord Jesus that he said, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? He never said, will he find doctrine? He never said, will he find message people? Will he find churches? Will he find preachers? But will he find faith? What faith do you reckon he's looking for? The faith that's been restored back, of course, to the original apostolic fathers. You notice he didn't say faiths as in plural. Church of God faith, Baptist faith, Methodist. I don't want none of them faiths. I want the faith of Jesus Christ, which is not the faith of the Church of God, because Jesus ain't the second person of the Godhead. Jesus couldn't believe in that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice in verse 21, they have moved me. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Now I wonder what the elect heard when they read that verse of that song. If people can move God to jealousy, then I believe there's people that can move him to love and mercy. Glory. You got to find your verse somewhere, friends. Remember, there was elect in every age. Mama, look at the time of darkness so dark upon the earth from the Pharisees and the scribes and what they'd done to the Lord Jesus. But that wasn't who Peter was. Peter stood right there in the midst of their unbelief. Their unbelief never slowed Jesus nor Peter down. I'm going to tell you one thing. Let folk leave the mess and let them do whatever they want to do. It ain't even going to slow the bride down none. We ain't even got time to take our breaths. We're going right on. The revelation's getting greater and greater. And we're moving right on with what God said he would do in the last days. Does it hurt us? Certainly it hurts us when we see people going away. As far as our motive, our objective, the shewbread of his face, we will be accomplished exactly what God wants us to be. Peter lived in that dark time and then turned away from the Lord. But he said, to whom can we go? You alone have the words of life. Oh my, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. My, they have provoked me to anger. Now again, God likening himself so we would be able to understand and relate. That ain't like God's up kicking stuff. I'll tell you one thing, I'm so mad. God ain't like that. But God allowed himself to be written this way, so people will be able to relate. Oh. Oh my, he says, they provoke me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Now watch, who in the world you reckon he would use to provoke a great nation with a great name? So they took a no God to provoke him, so he will take a no people. Not K-N-O-W, but N-O. No, nobody knows them. They're not great. They're out, you know, outcasts and off scouring and... Glory, hallelujah. I just found my place. I knew I was in that verse somewhere, Brother West. I just keep on looking. I found my place. Mama, this is me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I will move them to jealousy. Notice, I will move them to jealousy. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now remember, this is prophetic, so it could have happened over and over again. Don't you imagine how it must have been so repulsive to the Jews when God began to reveal himself on the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar, when God revealed himself on the Medo-Persians, when he revealed himself on down through there. What was it? Was it that they were the people of God, the elect of God? No. They were a people that God would use as a tool or instruments to bring to pass his glory. Now, if they were going to be saved, that was one thing. This is not just speaking about after the cross, but God used people which the Jews hated. They looked down on them and despised them, and yet God used them to whoop his own young'uns with them. You talking about repulsive for them that God would use a heathen, Nebuchadnezzar, and send him down there and carry away their altar and all that sort of thing? Why? Because God was mean because of their disobedience. So he used a heathen, a Gentile. Praise be to God. Now think of it. No doubt there was people that was carried away to Babylon. They never worshiped false gods. But it was the era they lived in. We're not idolaters, but we're being affected by the idolatry of the age. Some of these people had to leave their home, not because they'd done wrong. They were in that generation. Romans 9:25, as he saith also in Hosea, which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Now we're speaking of national symbolism, not election. And her beloved, which was not beloved. Romans 10:19, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Now remember, this is national sense and not elect. I sat and reading last night where Jesus, the great shepherd, said, my Father loves me because I laid down my life for the sheep. Ah. So you mean he's laying down his life for the sheep? So they're sheep before he laid his life down for them? Really? I know my sheep and they are known of me. And he told the Jews there, he said, I have sheep of another fold. But I will bring them all together in this one fold and there'll be one shepherd. You mean we were already a sheep before we was ever in the... I laid down my life not for goats, it's going to become sheep, but I laid down my life for my sheep. And my sheep know me and I know them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, nationally, Israel, I will provoke you by a people that are no nationality. What is your national status? Third German, third Polish, crossed up with the Cherokee Indian. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. We're mulligan stew, ain't we? A little bit of tater, a little bit of mater, a little bit of this and that and the other. So really, well, I'm an American, and what does that mean exactly? Look at our national status. We don't have that great of an existence. How long have we been around? How long have we stood for this? How long have we been there? Come on, you might as well say it's the truth. But God said, I will take them that are of no nation. I remember again, he's saying it in the human terms, not in God's language. Amen. Because in God's language, the bride was in the very mind of God before the foundation of the world. But when you're talking about national status, he said they are not a people. They are dogs. They are Gentiles. They have no great national status the way you do, Israel. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this in chapter 32, verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now you know the city of Jerusalem. It's said about the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, that its foundation was in the foundation of the mountains. God prophetically speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem. When 1 million, 1.1 million people died in the destruction. Because God's mean, because God's just. Listen in verse 23, I will heap mischiefs upon them. One calamity after another after another. Friends, is there any nation of people? Is there any genealogy of people? Is there any national status of people that have suffered the way Israel has? And please don't misunderstand me. It's not all been innocent. It's not that they're just this poor little innocent people and everybody's just out to get them. That's not the truth of it. The truth of it is they greatly rebelled against God's word. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spin mine arrows. Lord have mercy. God is here represented as their enemy. And God has his bow. And God has his quiver. And God is firing his arrows at Israel? At Israel? Why would he do this in such severity? Because he blessed them to such extremity. He blessed them beyond any nation. This is why when we as sons and daughters of God, look, being elect does not excuse us from getting in trouble. When we get in trouble, we get into big trouble. Oh my. Notice Job 6:4. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Here's Job, and he's acting as if though God's got his bow aimed right at him, and God dipped the arrows in poison. And the poison of the judgment of God is running through Job's bones and his sinew and his muscles and is causing him to sweat. And the poison is running through his whole body. And Job said, I'm being shot by God. This is his perception. I'm being shot by God with his arrows. Lord, let every devil out of hell hate me. Let every denomination, let everybody in Johnson City in the Tri-Cities, let them, every one of them hate me. And when they speak my name, let them spit in the lowest disgust. But don't never let God draw his bow after me. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. Psalms 38:2, for thine arrows stick fast in me and thy hand presseth me sore. Psalm 77:17, the clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. Notice these prophets, how they would take the judgment of God or the punishment of God, and they would identify with arrows. And here God said, Israel, when you do this, I want you to know I'll stand right there and I'll pull my bow back and I'll never miss. It's amazing, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, does it really matter who else is for us? If God is against us, let the devil and all his demons and everybody that draws a breath of life be on our side. Does that really matter? Let me close. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat, with bitter destruction. Oh, it must have broke God's heart. Again, I say this humanly, broke God's heart to have to anoint his prophet to utter these words. This is just a few days before Moses is fixing to cross over. What a way to crown your ministry. You have to stand and speak these words. God is describing their destruction and the siege of Jerusalem under Titus. They shall be burnt with hunger. This is the hour of famine, which when the people get so far along in famine, their skin begins to turn dark and wrinkle and dry up on their bones. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat. Oh my. They say when you come to this hunger and it's so long and so prolonged that it causes the hair on your body to begin to grow profusely. So you begin to get long hairs that comes out all over your body. And you change images from a human to a beast. Do you think a loving God wanted to say this? Do you think God wanted to say these words? They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat. Lord God, fevers, pestilences, diseases, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents of the dust. You imagine when Titus began to siege Jerusalem. He shut up all the gates. The people that was able to get out. And they run. And they run into the deserts. Even there they were met by serpents, which killed hundreds of them. There was no escape. Why? They have stood against God's anointed. Lord Jesus. Now God will ultimately turn them and He will scatter them over the face of the entire earth. And they will be scattered for 2,000 years. But then God says through His prophet Hosea, after 2 days, I will gather them. The prophet says it this way, and recognizing today's message, they were blinded, scattered, but now they're being gathered together again. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is it? After 2 days. Now we're into the third day. 2,700 years ago, this prophet spoke these words. And in the third day, there would be a resurrection. Glory be to God. Why? Oh, glory to God. Little Benjamin's got to be born. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jews coming from Ethiopia, coming from here and there, gathered together. Glory. Hallelujah. And if God is working on them, it's a sign that He's almost finished with His Gentile wife. Praise God. This song is fixing to be sung for its last time. Glory. Hallelujah. It's fixing to be sung for its last time. We used to sit back in Pentecostal and Baptist and Methodist and sing our old cloudy bluesy song. How sad we was, how bad we was. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been singing a different song since I found this word of Malachi 4. It's there has been a wedding day. My Lord has come to take us away. Hallelujah. I'm not singing a song of tribulation no more. I'm not singing a song of bondage no more. We are singing a song of liberty and freedom, and we are the elect of God. Israel will be singing another song. They could stand and say, well, we've been cast out. We've been hated. We've been rejected. And anti-Semitism is raising up against in Europe and America and everywhere around the world. Why? It's going to push little Benjamin for the last thrust. And right before little Benjamin can come, the bride's got to go up. And Joseph will take her into his palace. Praise be to God. Asenath must be changed. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 25, the sword without, terror within, shall destroy. Mama. Both young man and the virgin, the suckling also, was a man of gray hairs. Lord Jesus. Terror with them, and they eat one another's children. The grass off the ground. Bark off the tree. They ate cow manure, horse manure, anything they could find. When the city was besieged, 1.1 million people, as Josephus relates, perished. Not only in Jerusalem, but the surrounding areas. Why? Because they worshiped no gods. Gods that couldn't heal. Gods that couldn't save. Gods that couldn't deliver. You need a job, but your job can't save you. You have a wife, love her, treat her as a queen, but she's not your savior. You got a godly man, you ought to thank God for it, but he's not your savior. We thank God for our prophet, but he is not our savior and our redeemer. You got a pastor that tells you the truth, so I hope you do. You ought to thank God for him and pray for him. But he's not your savior and he's not your redeemer. Make no idol out of no man or nothing. Let's worship the living God. Amen. Our phones, our homes, our clothes, our cars. Hallelujah. 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 God said, I will scatter them into the corners and I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Do you understand if the grace of God had not intervened in this verse, God would have annihilated the very name of Jews. Do you understand the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Sabaeans, the Incas, the Anasazi, on and on and on I could go. They have not one left of their tribes. They were up on the earth and they lived their time and all of a sudden they ceased to exist. The Maya, who had their great civilization and mysteriously left the earth. If it hadn't been for the grace of God to come in, God would have annihilated the name Jew. But grace stepped in for Abraham's sake and for David's sake. Aren't you grateful? Look at your own life. My goodness, how many times have we fell short of the glory of God? If God were to give us what we deserved, my. We don't deserve grace and mercy, but grace overshadowed the threat. Praise be to God. And instead of God wiping out your name, he redeemed it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't mind telling you, I fought a real battle all week. Whew. Oh, it's been tough. You don't know how tough. Because I wanted to come back here tonight and pick up where I left on Sunday morning. Because believe me, I got a bunch more to say. So I fought a real battle. I told Carol, I said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, it's going to be tough on me. Knowing what I preach here Sunday morning, come back and deal with this tonight. But you know what? This is needful as well. Look, friends, God don't want us serving him but fear. But sometimes we need to hear things that shakes us and get our nest stirred up a little bit and just look at ourselves. Those of you that are elect of God, he don't want you trembling and shaking him before him. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. No, we walk before the throne of God with boldness. With grace in our hearts, but we need a shaking sometimes. Lord, help me that I don't become like this. Look at the people who've been around this message, and when they walk away, look at their outcome. And then you wonder why. Look what they've said under. Look at what they've heard. Look at what they've been privileged to eat. And when they turn, they're lower than animals. Please, please walk faithful to the Lord God. You love him with all your heart. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Harry, let's sing. It gets sweeter as the days go by. To me,
I've got to find myself in the Word. A lot of folks saying, it's so bad. It's so dark. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What in the world's going on? I say, it gets sweeter as the days go by. You got to sing something now. Oh, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Come on, let's sing it now. Oh, it gets sweeter,
yes, it gets sweeter
as the days go by.
As the days go by.
Oh, his love is sweeter.
He gets sweeter.
His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter,
sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, hallelujah, it's sweeter,
yes, it's sweeter
as the days go by.
The more I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good for me to deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. It gets sweeter as the days go by.
Oh,
it gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Is he sweeter or sour?
Sweeter.
Sweeter?
Yes, sir.
Is he sweeter or sour? Sweeter, Carol? I mean, he's been sour to you for at least 30 years. Is he sweeter? When you taste of him, is he like persimmons?
No.
Y'all ever eat persimmons? There's a key about persimmons. You got to catch them when they're ripe. After the first frost, they say. I was sitting in Illinois in the first hunt that I went this past fall, and I was sitting in a persimmon tree. Real nice tree stand there. It looked like it had been frosted, but I didn't know for sure. I just got on the phone with my wife, my grandbabies, and them, and I said, boy, them things look good. So I just reached over and grabbed a hold to one and kind of washed it off a little bit, had a bottle of water there and washed it off, you know, and I'll eat them now whenever they come ripe, and they're different, you know, I mean, they're tolerable. But I reached and grabbed a hold of that thing and washed it off and opened my mouth and sucked it between my teethers, and I wished I'd have never done it. I spit for the next 30 minutes. I had eaten nearly a half a bag of Tootsie Rolls to get that taste out of my mouth. That's the way some folks are acting about Jesus. Let's go to church. What do you think about the message? Man alive, the more I eat on this message, I'm like a horse down in clover. I'm all used to when I first come to the message, I could use a napkin. Lord have mercy, I got to use a beach towel. I mean, I'm just a slobber, like, I don't know what. Why? It's getting sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it's rotten and it's sour. I'm not sure what you're eating on, but what I'm eating on is sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and more powerful as the days go by. Not only that, it's fixing to change our bodies. Hallelujah! In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it together as we go.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Go ahead and wipe your mouth as you go out.
Hallelujah.
put away that little 1-inch by 1-inch napkin you brought in for church. Drag out your bath towel. I'm just trying to get the slobber off my face before I go out. Man, that was good. Praise God. If a drunk can act that way about his alcohol, if a drug addict can act that way about their dope, don't you look down your nose at me because I get excited about the only thing that's really real. Amen. This is eternal life. This is real. This is what will save this world. This is what will bring this world back into an upright condition. Glory to God. He's got to bring the elect upright before he can bring the earth upright. And the hallelujah! The closer we get to that body change, the closer the earth is getting to where she'll stand back up and rotate, and the temperature will be the same like it was in the beginning. Glory to God. Let's not go that way. Oh, it gets sweeter. God bless you. See you this weekend. Come expecting to eat at the table of the King. As the moments fly. Oh, His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter as the day.
Gets sweeter as the days go by. He gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Oh, He gets sweeter as the days go by. He gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Moment He saved me, His good grace He gave me, please love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing to Him I am going, and nevermore from Him to depart. Oh, He gets sweeter as the days go by. He gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the day.